We've benefited greatly by his studying the Lord's Word and sharing his meditations and thoughts with us in the past, and I'm sure this morning will be no exception. And his topic that he has chosen, which will be very beneficial for us, I'm sure, is Give Thanks. Brother Ralph.
It's a delight to be in the East. Some of the memories that I have go way back to my very early manhood and my late childhood. I'd like to still be a child in the Lord, but I bring a lot of love from Jackson and from brethren that I met along the way. It's a great privilege for me. You know, sometimes we develop a need for a lot of love. We just soak up love. And sometimes we seek out the brethren and seek out the people where we can get it. And I guess I've developed a motto is to love the easy ones first. And there are certain brethren that give us a great inspiration and a great lift and a great amount of love, and we thank the Lord for that and thank them for that. And then yesterday, of course, my brother, my son and I chewed the fat all afternoon, and it's interesting to see which one can talk the fastest. You know, we're both talkers, and I have another son that you can't hardly get a word out of him, so. But it was nice to be here and to appreciate the fellowship of the brethren and to have the love of the brethren. And I should also bring the love of Bonnie with me, too. You know, David established a principle that those that stayed behind got half the spoils. And I like to think that every time I serve, it's two of us up here, except that the women are not supposed to be up on the platform, so... it's really the principle that still holds. So believe me, this is a privilege for me to be here. You know, in Michigan this year, and maybe this is a sales field for Michigan, I don't know, aside from being the automobile capital of the world and one of the tourist capitals of the world, we're one of the agricultural capitals of the world also. And this year is a bountiful year regarding fruit. Apples and peaches and cherries. There has never, ever been such a bountiful year for fruit as this year in Michigan. Thank you. And it has caused me to specifically think about giving thanks to the Lord. And I should confess that I have a very poor memory. And I have on my wristwatch here, there was a little thing on there for a calendar. I've had the watch for about 11 years. I took the calendar out and put a little motto in there to say, Give Thanks. On the front license plate of my automobile, in Michigan, you can put your own motto on the front. So my motto is Give Thanks. So I can remind myself. When I look at my wristwatch to give thanks, every time I get in my car, I look at the license plate, I give thanks. And specifically, oftentimes some of the more difficult experiences of life, the hard things of life, the truth regarding our own shortcomings, our own weaknesses sometimes become quite manifest. And we can do something about it. And I've had occasion in the last few months to give thanks specifically along some of these lines. You know, in the starting around the middle of January and into February and into March, we're preparing our hearts for memorial. There's a 2 Corinthians 7 about cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit and so on. Well, this time of year seems to be a special time of year for Thanksgiving. It just fits into the season. And well, that's the background for our remarks this morning. And the text, of course, the made-to-order text is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. That's easier said than done. It's one thing to get up here and give a talk on in everything give thanks, and it's another thing in the traumas, the disasters, the tragedies, the hurts, the trials, the sorrows, things that really lay us out, to really give thanks. And there are lessons to be learned. And thank God, thank the Lord for some of these things. And the scripture that I like to think that goes along with that is Philippians 4:19, where it says, "My God shall supply all your needs." All your needs are supplied. All your needs. And sometimes our needs, we need love. We need love. I'd like a lot of love. You know, my son told me yesterday that he loved me, and that just wipes me out. That just wipes me out. I tell you, I get weak in the knees, and you know, I get kind of fluttery and so on. Parents can take almost anything except that. But it's precious to hear. And I'm. In fact, I told him, I said, turn up the volume one more time. And he did, so I appreciated that. The word supply in Philippians 4:19 is from a Greek word meaning to make replete, to cram, to level up, to satisfy. To satisfy. The blessings of the Heavenly Father are not meager. They're not small. They're heaped up, they're pushed down, they're overflowing, and they're abundant. His blessings to us are new every morning. We ran across something years ago that every day is a new life to a wise man. Every day is a new life to a wise man. It's a new leaf. Today is a brand spanking new day. We're going to make mistakes today. We're going to say things that we don't mean and do things that we wish we hadn't have done and all that sort of thing. But we can do better by God's grace, and we will. If we think about it, if we meditate about it, if we use our experiences in the Lord. Ephesians 3:14-19. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And I'm learning that. I'm learning that the more that I can be emptied and realize how much, that only by the Spirit of God can I do anything, I become stronger. Otherwise, not at all. I'm a great manipulator. I've studied practical psychology, business psychology, applied psychology, all these psychological methods in connection with business management and this type of thing, and I know the techniques, and I'm a great manipulator, and I've learned, and I'm learning, that this is not God's way. It's God's way to step back. Let the Lord handle it. Let the Lord work it out. The Lord can do such a beautiful job if I will only get out of the way and let the Lord work it out. And when the Lord does it, it's done right. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know. And this is a little bit difficult. I shouldn't say a little bit difficult. It's very, very difficult. To really know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. These are easy scriptures to read, easy scriptures to put in our minds and hearts, and very, very difficult to have sink deeply into our hearts and really mean something to us. There's strength and life in these words, and I'm learning that. with the help of the brethren and with the help of the studies and so on. The comprehension of His plan, the understanding of God's plan, is a precious gift from God. We didn't discover it. We didn't figure it out on our own wisdom. It's a gift from God. He didn't have to reveal His plans to us. He didn't have to give us His written word. He didn't have to give us all of these beautiful, beautiful things. For instance, what good is a flower? Do you ever think about a flower? If you love somebody, what do? You give them a flower. Flowers say love. It's God's little message. It's not a little message. It's an I love you message. All these precious things that Father has given to us, we're becoming more spiritually aware of these blessings, like in a way of never before. And they've come to us in a mixed bag. They've come to us with trauma and hurt and sorrow and sadness. And yet, here's the joy and the blessing and the wonderful, overpowering blessings of God. It really gets to us. It really gets to us. How is it possible to be filled with all the fullness of God? All the fullness of God. 139th Psalm says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The first thought that comes into our mind, of course, that this is the development of the church. Yes. It's the development of the human organism, if you please, the physiology and anatomy and all of the things that go to make up. And sometimes we forget that. There's a forgetting that we've got a mind to think with and a heart to work with and feelings and emotions and judgments to make that will be blessed if we let God work through us. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The development of the church is a very unusual development, something very unusual. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. What a beautiful description of the church. What a beautiful description of the church. From another standpoint, the individual new creature. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Just backwards from human reasoning. Oftentimes, just the reverse. The things that are sometimes the most pleasant to the flesh really are not what is so beneficial to us as new creatures. Sometimes the most excruciating experiences that we can have, the things that really tear us apart, really tear us into are the blessings that God has designed for us. When we can surrender, when we can give up, and we can say, Lord, there's nothing I can do about it. And put it in the Lord's hands and leave it there and continue to express our appreciation that He is dealing with us, that really all that means anything is His love of us, His acceptance of us, that we're His children, and that His love is upon us. All at once, strength begins to flow into us, and we can say, thank you, God, in everything give thanks. And we can begin to do that. Our Heavenly Father, God, does not want us to be in want. He wants us to be dependent upon Him. Most of us, and I'm talking about the men folks among us, would like to be financially independent. Most of us would like to have enough money or enough income so that we didn't have to depend upon anybody for a job, and we could That's not what the Lord wants. Did you ever think about that? The Lord wants us to be dependent upon Him every day. Give us this day our daily bread, a dependence upon God for His sustenance. It is too easy, too fantastically easy, with financial independence, for a slight shift away from spiritual things and spiritual, the more important things to us as new creatures. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth us beside waters of quietness. And what is more beautiful than to meditate and to think and to realize God's love for you, just the way you are right now? You know, there's a saying that I like, and I shared it with some, that God loves you just the way you are right now, but He also loves you enough not to leave you that way, too. In other words, God is accepting of us just the way we are, right here, right now. But if we let Him, He'll work with us, and He'll transform us. He'll let us look into our hearts and take away the stoniness and the hard things there, and in their place put in the beautiful traits of character that we so much want. But only if we work with Him. It's mainly a business of surrender, and that's hard. You know, all the positive thinking books, how to do this and how to do that, positive thinking, it's something that we do. In this case, it's something that we surrender, or something that we give up, to accept the Lord's will, to accept, and that's oftentimes hard. Any of us that are a little bit impulsive, or we tend to go off half-cocked and this type of thing, it's difficult to sit back and let the Lord handle it. But even working with people in the business world, it works. Time and time again, when we've stepped back and been able to give in or give up, we'll get much more than we ever dreamed of. If we had fought for our rights hard, we'd have lost. But by giving in and giving up and having a spirit it works. It works with working with people. It works with subordinates and with the top management. It works with everybody. It's a scriptural principle, but it's hard. It's easy to talk about and very difficult to put into operation. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I think one of the most important habits that we can get into, and it is a habit, and it has become a habit, to study every single day, just as we eat food. You have needs, I have needs for the new creature, and the only way those needs can be satisfied is to go back and to go back and to study and to study and to study and to meditate and to pray and to put these things really into operation in our lives. And they become as real to us as anything, more real to us than our life. And it begins to change us. People that don't see us maybe for a period of time, they say, well, you've changed. It's neat when people that really know you well. For instance, people that are very close to you, and they see a change in you, and they're willing to it's encouraging from time to time. Heavens knows we get enough discouragement and enough hard experiences that we need a little bit of encouragement from time to time. 36th Psalm. Seven through nine. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and thy light shall we see light. There are cases years ago, and these are documented cases. These are documentation of this. The foundling homes and the orphan homes where little babies and little children were kept. They began to keep some records, and they found out something. There were three levels. There were three levels of these foundling homes. There was one level where the children, the babies, were fed and kept clean and not touched. Not loved, not touched. They died. Babies died. They could be kept clean, they could be fed. If they weren't touched and loved, they died. There was a middle group of these foundling children, of these little babies, of these little orphan children that had a mid-amount, we'll say, of loving affection and tender care, of holding and cuddling and this type of thing. And the study found out that they had a mediocre development, emotional-wise, mental-wise, physical-wise. The little children, the babies that were loved all day long, and even they found what they did, they took mentally defective teenage girls, and all their job was to love these little babies. The little babies grew up fine. They got loving, tender care from defective, teenage, mentally retarded girls. And this level of baby were superior in every way. They needed tender, loving care. And you know, oftentimes, our brethren need tender, loving care. I know I need all the tender, loving care I can get. And I found brethren that can give me some tender, loving care. And I need that. I seek those brethren out. And it's a precious thing. And then I'm under obligation to the Lord to pass it on, to let the brethren know that I love them. Not by talking. It's easy to talk. Much more difficult to show you that I love you, to act it out and to prove it to you so that you can feel it and that you know it. And this is the hard part. Oftentimes we talk up a storm regarding love. You get down to the nitty-gritty and to shake hands or to hug, or to put our arms around somebody, let them, brother or sister, know that we really love them, and let them know by a tender, loving care. It's sometimes difficult for us to do. You know, sometimes we have a sign, please do not hug. I am a non-hugger. All right, I'm not going to hug you, believe me, if you don't want to be hugged. But if you want me to hug you, just put a sign on you. I'm a hugger. And believe me, I'll give you a good bear squeeze, and you'll say, let up. But it's very important, the expressions of love and the expressions of tenderness to our brethren. We need it. I need it. And our brethren need it. And when we get it, we blossom. We just come to life. And our brethren come to life. We've seen it happen. We've got all kinds of stories of little children, of how they were loved back to life. They were literally loved back to life. Those children were dying. And little children aren't the only ones. Sometimes the only thing that will keep an adult alive is simply because they were either loved or could love. And then, after we've received so much from the Lord, there's a beautiful story in 1 Chronicles of David collecting material for the temple that is such a beautiful story of the willingness of the people to sacrifice. And it's in 1 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. David had been told that he could not build the temple. And he knew that Solomon would be given the privilege to build the temple, and that however, David assembled the material for the temple. This is in the 26th chapter of 1 Chronicles, starting with the 6th verse. And David started out by giving of his own goods. And then he offered the privilege to the people to bring their silver and gold and precious stones. David's request was, who is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? The response delighted David, for the things that were offered willingly. The people offered willingly because they realized that all that they possessed had been given to them from God. They knew that God was their source, so they offered willingly. Let's read some of that because it's so thrilling. Starting with the sixth verse, then the chief of the fathers of the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And this is a very important point, because I believe that we can offer with a perfect heart. Yes, we blow so sweetly and it comes out so sour, and sometimes we do so wonderfully and everything goes haywire. I realize that. But the heart can be perfect before the Lord. The heart, and this is what the Lord rejoices in. Your heart attitude and my heart attitude, I believe, can be a perfect heart attitude. It took me a long time to realize that. But this rejoiced David greatly. With perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. The perfect heart, that all that we have, has come from a loving, gracious Heavenly Father. We are nothing. Absolutely nothing. So what we have to give to the Lord, we offer Him. But we do offer Him our hearts. We have to offer Him the attitude of our heart, the love of our heart, the incense of our heart. For we are strangers before Thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build Thee in house, for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and we are being tried to know whether we love the Lord, the God, our God, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our being, and so on. And sometimes we find out that there's less than perfection there. And we have experiences to really come before the Lord and make a confession. Very hard to do. Even harder to confess to our brethren sometimes. One of the things that we really don't practice very much in our Bible student movement are confessions. We really don't confess very much. And maybe we're a lot better people than, you know, maybe we're really pretty good. Sometimes I like to feel that I can confess to somebody, or somebody can hear my confession, and it's hard. I'm well aware of the fact of how difficult it is to either hear a confession or to make a confession. It's most difficult for the integrity of the confessor and the confessee. It's well nigh impossible to be on either end of that. So I'm not you know, going overboard in this aspect of it at all, but it's just one of the things that has caused me to consider over the years, and specifically recently, you know, how we can clean up sometimes things that get to us that are just not very nice. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the hearts of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. The beautiful willingness that is so pleasing to the Lord is in the ninth verse. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And that's a very legitimate prayer for us, to ask that we could be more sincere and more honest in our sacrifice before the Lord, that the Lord would cleanse our hearts. And then we can usually count on the Lord to give us some experiences to set us back on our heels. And then we can give thanks when the Lord has opened up our eyes to a shortness or a defect in our character. We can become willing to have God remove that defective character, humbly come to the throne of grace, and leave it there. And God is gracious. God is merciful and good to us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? There's a classic statement on page 405 of the reprints that is probably one of the most beautiful things that Brother Russell ever wrote regarding consecration. Page 405. And this is the essence of some of this giving up and giving in and relinquishing our rights and being the manipulator, being the positive individual that can do everything. Page 405 from the reprints. Submission is a strong word. Consecration still, I'm quoting. Submission is... Submission is a strong word, consecration still stronger. Surrender is cessation of resistance. Consecration, a transfer of all we are and have to Christ for active service. It covers person and property, talents and opportunities, and accepts of Christ as leader, manager, friend, and savior, present, active, and efficient in all the minutiae of life. There are degrees of consecration, and even entire consecration is progressive. For new interests, cares, burdens, capacities, and opportunities arise and await disposal. And Christ is revealed in new revelations, making new demands, offering new privileges, and these await trustful acceptance, so that ever and always the proposition to devote all to Christ, to receive all of Christ, claims fresh attention. Many commit spiritual interest to his care and worry on along with temporal concerns, aid in business, accept daily grace but doubt respecting daily bread, rejoice in Christ as Savior but fail to apprehend him as a brother, a companion, a present, constant friend. Consecration is not absolutely perfect until the fullness of our Lord is perceived and received, and the fullness of life is devoted to him. For every revelation of Christ calls for new devotion from us. The consecration must be as broad as the apprehension, covering the fullness of Christ and the fullness of man. Giving thanks. All that we have comes from the Heavenly Father. These words, we believe, came from the Heavenly Father through Brother Russell. Our heart response is to give all that we have to Him, to try to use these words and benefit by them. Go into this depth of consecration that Brother Russell is talking about there. Really and truly get involved and let it affect us and what we do and how we act, what we say, what our hands find to do, what our feet find to do. And it's a blessed way. There is a lesson in 1 Kings regarding the widow of Zarephath. It's very unusual. Very unusual story of the widow of Zarephath and Elijah. Very unusual story. It almost defies explanation. We would tend to, at first glance, think of it as a con game. The poor old widow, and somebody comes along and says, you know, steals the money and so on. The only thing of it is that this ties in with the principle that our Lord enumerated with the widow and her two mites in the New Testament. So it's a very beautiful example of how the Lord can supply us with our necessary needs. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting because it's different. It's different than the usual order of things. And I'm sure that that's the reason that this experience is recorded here in 1 Kings. Because it illustrates wisdom. It illustrates wisdom in God's giving and in our receiving. 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, starting with the 8th verse. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She was poor. She was a poor widow. A poor widow. And Elijah said to her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Feed me first. You know, you could almost shoot Elijah right on the spot. But that is the principle that here is different. Feed me first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. Until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. She gave off the top. She gave off the top, and the widow in the New Testament that our Lord commended gave off the top. You remember Brother Russell's comment on that? Well, why didn't, you know, the Lord say, well, keep one and give one. Tithe, you know, like 50%. She was commended for giving of her all. And the lesson here for us is to give off the top. Most of us, one of the difficult things for the Americans, for the people of the United States, is the abundance. We have so much that it's hard to, you know, really give of our
off the top and the very best. And this is what we're counseling. Give of our best. Find out what our best is and give it. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. But in everything. Here's this everything. Give thanks in everything. We can pray in everything. And sometimes we're counseled that, well, we better be careful about praying for so-and-so or such-and-such. I think we're privileged to pray for our brethren. When we have requests for prayer, we don't have to tell the Lord what to do. I'm not suggesting that we tell the Lord what to do, ever. But we can lay it before the Lord, and we can humbly submit to the Lord's will, because the Lord never fails to answer our prayers. What is it? Yes and no and wait? Yes and no and wait? Or maybe not now? Whatever. So we can't lose if we put it in the Lord's hands and leave it there. Luke 11:9-10, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Our prayer is a prayer that's in the first chapter of Philippians, in the first chapter of Colossians. It's stated very simply. Paul apparently felt that we needed discernment and that we needed spiritual backbone, because that's essentially what the prayers are. Praying for discernment, to know what's right and wrong, and then praying to bring forth fruitage unto righteousness. That's our prayer. It's found in the first chapter of Philippians and the first chapter of Colossians, and in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally. God will give us wisdom if we will ask. He'll give us strength if we will ask. And the beautiful promise in Romans 8:28 from Rotherham makes it so positive. Rotherham, Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. Things don't just automatically, you know, helter-skelter, randomly. God causes it. If we are dedicated to God and to his purposes and to his a full unreserved consecration of page 405 in reprints, if we're living up to that. I think sometimes the most precious experiences of life come to us through sorrow and sadness and heartbreak. And learning our weaknesses, learning our insufficiency, learning our nothingness. We sing, 229, oh, it'll be nothing, nothing. I've heard some of the brethren say that they talk to themselves in the car sometimes and talk to the Lord in the car out loud. I do that. And one of the things I say in the car is, I am nothing, nothing. And put that into my consciousness that only with the Lord's help and only with the Lord's goodness and overruling providences in my life can I be anything. The more that I can appreciate that fact and the more that I can humbly come to an appreciation of my weaknesses, if you please. Sometimes we don't, you know, we're very reticent about facing into ourselves or what we're going to find. We're just scared to death of what we'll find there. And oftentimes the Lord doesn't give us a choice in the matter. We find out whether we want to or whether we don't. And we have to recognize